Well, good morning. You're listening to the Red Rock Morning Show on Red Rock 92. It is Tuesday, January 23rd, 2024, 9:06 a.m. on this Tuesday morning. Glad you've joined us for another edition of the Red Rock Show. Morning show sponsor Redtail Air Connections offers weekly air service from Canyonlands Regional Airport in Moab to Salt Lake City International Airport. You can book today at flyredtail.com or call 435-259-7421. Got a couple of special guests joining us now. Brian Points with Points Consulting. They've been hired by San Juan County to conduct a housing assessment of the entire county. He's joining us this morning along with San Juan County Economic Development Director Elaine Gisler. Good morning, Elaine and Brian.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, thanks for taking the time to join with us. So this housing assessment's been talked about for some time in county circles, and so I guess start with you, Brian. What is it that your company does? What is a housing assessment, and what is it that you'll be doing?
Our company, Points Consulting, does studies related to real estate and economic development, and housing studies is one of the things we most frequently do. We do it both for private sector entities and for city, county, government agencies and that kind of thing. So we've worked across the country. I'm actually in Alaska for a similar study today. We have ongoing work and also in Colorado, Idaho, Washington, Oregon, Oklahoma, Kentucky. So I think it's something that we understand pretty well. And the housing study that we're doing for San Juan County is focused on better understanding the market, providing some transparency for everybody, whether that's the elected officials, city, county, staff, regular citizens, builders, developers, investors, all of the above.
Well, very good. Well, so we've got Elaine here. Elaine, why is it that San Juan County is conducting this assessment?
Well, I've been here in San Juan County for 2.5 years now, and I keep hearing we don't have enough housing, we don't have enough housing, we have a shortage of housing, we need affordable housing. So hearing all of that, I felt that it was necessary to really have a report, an assessment done of what we do have. What housing stock do we have? What housing stock are we going to need based on, you know, things that are happening or businesses that we'd like to attract to come into San Juan County? So we needed an actual report rather than just people commenting that we don't have housing. And I think this is the first time that we're conducting an assessment throughout San Juan County. And I think it's going to be very meaningful for, you know, once Points Consulting completes this project, we'll have valid information, documentation that we'll be able to take, as I say, take our show on the road to, from the state capitol, legislators, the governor, lieutenant governor. I also intend to meet in Window Rock with the principals down there for the Navajo Nation, because we're having public meetings in 5 different locations. So I'm really pleased that we're really going to have a document that's going to spell out where we are and where we need to go.
Very good. Well, so talking about this document, this report, you know, again, like you say, people anecdotally, they know there's not really housing in San Juan County. You know, I can pull up a real estate website and see, oh, there's only, you know, 3-4 listings. And, you know, I know people that want to be here or people that want to change houses that don't really have that opportunity. So what is the report going to show, or what might it tell us that we don't already know?
It'll tell those reading the report and digesting all the presentations that come out of it, not just there's a housing shortage, which, as you mentioned, David, is pretty obvious, but more of the texture of that. So what types of units would people want that aren't being provided? Are those tighter, denser? Are they rentals, condos? Are they, you know, what? There's a lot of variation within the housing market. And the housing market in the U.S. for various reasons over the past 50 years has become pretty monocultural in the sense that it's either low density single family or high density multifamily. But it turns out that a lot of those options don't actually serve a lot of people and are becoming increasingly less likely to serve people with some of the macroeconomic changes that we've had in income levels and inflation and building patterns and those kinds of things. So we're going to point out not just you need housing, but the gaps, you know, specifically how much, you know, what's a level that people can afford, what's a location that makes sense, what kind of, you know, style, density, size, that kind of thing. And then I think also something that a regular citizen may not think that much about is zoning and how that zoning and land use and how that affects the housing market. And there's always some tweaks and tinkering that can be made on that front to make it easier for the private sector to address the demands that we identify and that they already know are there. So we're hoping to actually provide transparency, open up the entire view of the market to anybody, point out the specifics, create some recommendations, and then also with the help of Elaine and her team, market the opportunity to outside of San Juan County. Because there's obviously not enough builders. The market isn't doing enough by itself right now. It's not enough builders in the community to fill the demand. So you got to go outside of the area to help bring in some more supply.
Very good. That sounds really interesting. You know, as part of this study that you're doing, there's some public meetings going on later on this month. Tell us what are you hoping to receive in those public meetings?
Yeah, we're doing town halls, five of them during the week of January 29th, and me or Elaine can give some more specifics on that here in a minute. But at those town halls, we want to give a little bit of the data we've collected, but we also want it to be very conversational. This is a case where this is our primary means of doing qualitative research. So when we are going to conduct these town halls, what we'll usually do is we'll have a few slides with some data, and then we'll have some prompting type of questions that are more, you know, what does this mean to you? What gaps do you see? You know, what kind of pressures have you or people in your community experienced because of these issues? So that helps us understand things that may not be visible on a spreadsheet and becomes part of the inputs for our report.
So again, those meetings, I know, like you said, the week of January 29th, I see here, the 29th, you'll be in Monticello, the 30th in LaSalle, also the 30th later in the day in Blanding, and it looks like the 31st of January in Bluff and February 1st in at the Monument Valley Welcome Center, looks like. So again, lots of meetings coming up that week. We'll give you that information once more. But you know, we mentioned at the end there, you know, Monument Valley. Tell me about, it looks like I'm looking at your website, Points Consulting. Looks like you have some experience working on tribal lands. What sort of challenges or issues do you foresee being on the Navajo Nation, and how do you address those housing needs there?
Mm-hmm. I'd start with trust, communication, cultural differences, and then lastly, legal and land use issues. So it's a whole kind of litany of challenges that lead to, you know, why things don't function the same way on tribal lands as they do non-tribal lands. And we have learned all of those lessons pretty well and have learned how to work with those communities. And, you know, ultimately, I think one of the important things that we need to remember is that they are sovereign nations, and they do have a lot of their own legal infrastructure. So if they don't have buy-in for the process and the project, then it's just not going to go anywhere. So I think that you need to start from that kind of assumption. You know, we're coming in as a potential partner, but we also need to realize that they have their own resources, their own ideas, their own desires, and, you know, we shouldn't try to force anything upon those nations, because that's kind of part of what's been the problem with those relationships in the past.
Yeah,
I agree. Listening, learning, telling them what we're doing. And then, you know, usually if it does match up, and it probably will, you know, they have housing shortages too, then you can start to find opportunities to collaborate.
Yeah. With that, Elaine, you know, again, I know that's something you've emphasized as you put out the request for proposals. Do you want this for the whole entire county? Tell us about that decision.
Well, it's really important that we hear, because our county is so different. You know, when you get into Spanish Valley and LaSalle, that'll be one meeting. Then Monticello City and Blanding, Bluff, and then down in Monument Valley. Our situations are different as you move from community to community. And, you know, realizing that there is a sovereign nation there, I think it's important. Some of the residents that I've had occasion to meet with have expressed concern that they don't have housing, they need housing. They've come to us. Of course, we can't make those decisions, but I think the findings that will occur from this assessment with Brian, with Points Consulting, is really going to help us to meet and partner with them to say, we've listened to the community here in Utah, and these are our findings, and how can we partner? How can we help? What can we do? What can San Juan County do to make people's lives better? How can we help? And I think that is our goal. You know, how do we provide and help to support them, realizing that, you know, they've got their own way of managing the sovereign nation, and we respect that. But how can we partner? How can we help the residents that reside here in Utah on this side?
It's a big project and a big opportunity for the county. Brian, just going back to what are some of the successes you've seen from these reports? I mean, is this something that has the potential to make the housing market better in San Juan County?
Yeah, and that's why we do it, is the desire and hope that it will. So some of the successes we see are, there's two main types, I'd say. One is a private sector response, and one is a state and, yeah, I'd say usually state government kind of response. So I'll start with the latter one. States such as Utah have certain funds set aside to help with projects related to affordable housing, but they need to see evidence that's not anecdotal. So a feasibility study, housing study, that kind of thing is what they need to see in order to justify that. And then it also really helps them target what the project should look like, because there's different ways to, you can't just throw money at affordable housing and expect it to work. There's, you know, specific pathways that you need to follow. So that's one possibility. And then the private sector response, as I've mentioned, we make these reports for not just for government agencies, but for the community. So I've often had cases where after we finish a study, the developers will seek an audience and input from us afterward and say, hey, we went to your presentation, we read your report, we're thinking of doing this thing, you know, does this seem to make sense to you? And sometimes we say yes, sometimes we say no. But that's the kind of help that an input that we're hoping to provide, is that some of those developers are maybe keeping their money on the sidelines or looking elsewhere, but with the new data that they have, they have interest in some different ways of doing it. So those are two potential ways. And I think the last thing I'd say on that front is that in a place like San Juan County, where the population density is pretty low, you don't have to see a tremendously large response in order for it to make an impact. You know, to see, you know, 20 new homes, it would be the equivalent of, you know, 1,000 new homes in a big metropolitan area. So that's the good news, is that if you, even a seemingly not very big change can make a big difference for these smaller communities.
Yeah, and it interests me too. You know, we mentioned about local builders and local developers. You know, they're invested in the community and want to see it, but maybe sometimes they don't necessarily have the right direction, or maybe right understanding of, well, would this project work or not? It sounds like that can give some of those local folks answers as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Again, public meetings, opportunity for folks to come and learn a little bit more about this and provide input. I've got the list here, but I know, Elaine, you've put it together too. Do you want to read that out, or shall I?
Sure. We will have our Monticello public meeting at the Hideout from 6 to 8:30 on January 29th. And then we will move to Spanish Valley and LaSalle on Tuesday, the 30th of January from 10 to 12. And then we'll be headed to Blanding that Tuesday, the 30th. And it'll be at the City Building in the Council Chambers in the evening from 6 to 9. And then Wednesday, the 31st of January, we will be in Bluff at the Community Center from 10 to 12. And then on February 1st, we will be in Monument Valley at the Welcome Center. And that meeting will be from 10 to 12. And we'll really encourage everyone in the public to attend these meetings. Your voice is really important. We need to hear your feedback. You know, you'll weigh in on this housing assessment. We just need as much attendance as we possibly can have it at every meeting. And we appreciate anyone who's going to come out and help support this this project.
Well, very good. We've been speaking with Elaine Gisler, San Juan County Economic Development Director, and Brian Points with Point Consulting. They've been hired by San Juan County to conduct a housing study for the entire county. Brian, anything else you'd like to mention before we let you run this morning?
Yeah, last thing to add to what Elaine said on these meetings. In most cases, we'd love to have people show up there in person, obviously, but we know there are cases where people can't get away from their obligations. So we will have remote Zoom options for people to join in remotely. And if we can figure out the tech, we will also do it on Facebook Live, which means you wouldn't be able to interact as easily, but you would actually be able to listen if anybody's interested in that. And all of the information with those links and all the times and dates that Elaine just read off, you can get on the San Juan County Economic Development Facebook page or website. We have the information in both places.
Well, very good. And then one last word for Elaine. You know, again, part of the something like this takes some funds. I know the county's budgeted for this, but I understand there's also some grant funds involved.
Yes. We were fortunate enough to receive a grant from the Governor's Office of Economic Opportunity to cover a portion of this, which we're grateful for. And I want to add that we've been working on this project for quite some time. We started in 2023 with a committee, and we had representatives come from every area of the county to weigh in. They drafted the RFP that we put out. So we've had engagement from the very beginning with residents that are in the community. And I really appreciate their time and efforts that they put in to go through this process. So I'm very excited and looking forward to all that this is going to bring. And I thank Brian and his team. We've been working with them now for a couple of months, and I'm really happy that the public meetings are just a short while away. And then we're hoping that this complete assessment will be done sometime in early May. And then we'll be traveling throughout each of the communities to deliver what the findings have been from Points Consulting. So we're going to make sure that we get the city leaders, county leaders, and everyone involved and residents involved during that time frame.
Well, very good. Well, again, it's a big project and opportunity for the public to be involved here coming up at the end of the month. We'll be sure to remind folks, and they can also read about it in the upcoming edition of the San Juan Record. Again, we've been joined this morning by Elaine Gisler and Brian Points. Elaine, Brian, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Once again, it is the Red Rock Morning Show on Red Rock 92. We'll take a quick break and be right back.
Desert Rivers Credit Union is proud to team up with the communities in our corner of the state. A nationwide network of ATMs and branches, full line of mortgage products, local decision making, low fees and great rates for every credit score are just a few of the things we bring to the team. And to top it off, we are for people, not profit. Come by and meet our team at one of our four branch locations or visit DesertRiverCU.com. We love our communities and are proud to support our youth.
Tires, tires, tires. When you need your tires looked at and local caring service, turn to Point S Tires of Moab. Point S Tires is the place to turn to for the Moab visitor, with all sizes of tires for everything on the road. And Point S Tires can also repair many of the problems that Four Corners travelers may face. When in Moab, seek out the problem solvers at Point S Tires. Be safe out there.
Do you enjoy working with children? Care About Childcare is looking for people who are interested in starting their own childcare business in San Juan County. Startup costs and a $2,500 grant are available for family childcare providers. A $10,000 grant is available for childcare centers. Funding is limited. Call 435-613-5619 to learn more. Funded by DWS through the ARPA Discretionary Fund.
Utah Navajo Health System is a series of community health centers providing medical, dental, and behavioral health care to Utah Navajo. With operations in Blanding, Montezuma Creek, Monument Valley, Navajo Mountain, and Monticello, UNHS offers a remarkable variety of services to our patients throughout San Juan County and the northern portion of Navajo Nation.
Well, good morning. Welcome back to the Red Rock Morning Show on Red Rock 92. It is Tuesday, January 23rd, 2024, 9:28 a.m. on this Tuesday morning. Glad you've joined us for another edition of the Red Rock Morning Show. David Boyle in studio now with San Juan Record editor Bill Boyle. Thanks for joining us, Bill.
Oh, it's good to be here.
Yeah.
Another beautiful day in the Red Rock country.
Yes, it is. And I've got a lot of local news and happenings for you throughout the Red Rock listening area. Of course, there was a big to-do last night in Blanding. Tell us a little bit what you've heard about that meeting, Bill.
Oh, yeah. They're building a new elementary school in Blanding, and that will be here in the next year and a half or so. They had a meeting. They kind of rolled out some of the design features for that facility last night in a meeting. About 80 people there, a good crowd. What a beautiful location it's going to be on the north end of Blanding, on 900 North. And so they rolled out all these design concepts. I think some of the feedback was on capacity issues. You know, what happens if the community grows, continues to grow? Security issues, of course, in every public school. Cost, some of the design issues. They announced last night the Utah State School Board has access to funding for rural schools, and they're contributing $20 million to that project. They just mentioned that in passing, not a whole lot of details, but there will be a board meeting tomorrow in Blanding where they'll discuss some of these issues a little bit more. So it's an exciting next step on a big process to replace the school that has the largest enrollment in the district. So that should be a fun thing to continue to follow.
Yeah. Yeah. Very, very interesting. $20 million, huh? That's
from
what
the state.
Said.
Yeah. Huh. And then, of course, there'd be local contributions, and the San Juan School District doesn't have any debt. There's no bond obligations and so forth. And so this is a way with state funding to try to avoid having to have bonding and so forth. Yeah. They've got a voted leeway that contributes funds. And anyway, it's a pretty exciting thing. And that meeting yesterday was another important step in the process.
Sure.
And really, the first step that a lot of people, the general public, could see what they'd come up with and have some input. And I think they got some valuable input, too, is what I understand.
Well, very good. It looks like they've also got a survey they've posted online. You know, if you want to give additional input, if you believe I know they plan to record the meeting, I'm sure that, if you have input, you can definitely give that online.
Yeah, we anticipate having a big story in the San Juan Record next week. You know, from last night's meeting and tomorrow's board meeting, and try to come up with some concepts that let people know what's planned.
Yeah.
It's pretty exciting times.
Yeah, it is.
I guess 80-something thousand square feet is the current size of this facility. And who knows? Have a full gym, anyway, those are some of the issues that we'll discuss.
Yeah. Well, very good. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see and learn more and hear people's reaction and, yeah, how they might want to see changes to it. Well, again, it's the Red Rock Morning Show on Red Rock 92, taking a look at some other local news in the Red Rock listening area. There's a missing person alert from the Navajo Nation for the Kayenta District. Herbert Gray Eyes, age 37, year-old man listed at 5'9", last seen wearing a green jacket, blue jeans, and black shoes, last seen on December 6th in Kayenta. He has a beard and a long scar on his left leg. If you have any information about his whereabouts, the Navajo Police Department in Kayenta asks that you let them know, 928-697-5600. Once again, it is the Red Rock Morning Show on Red Rock 92. Got a lot more local news and happenings for you throughout the Red Rock listening area. As part of the morning show, though, of course, we have funeral notices and memorial services throughout the Red Rock area.
And there'll be funeral services starting at 10 a.m. this morning for Sam Wing Jr., age 63, of Toyac. That'll take place again this morning at 10 at the Ertel Memorial Chapel in Cortez. Funeral services for Timothy Pogue will begin at 1 p.m. tomorrow, that's January 24th, at Spanish Valley Mortuary in Moab. Tim, age 52, passed away on January 18th. Funeral services for Connie Christine Watkins, age 62, of Lewis, Colorado, will be held at 11 a.m. on Wednesday at the Areola Baptist Church. Funeral services for Stephen Gary Norman, age 58, of Moab, begin at 10 a.m. on Thursday, that's January 25th, at the Moab LDS Stake Center on Locust Lane. Viewing precedes. Graveside services for Mike DeRozier of Monticello are Friday, January 26th at 1 p.m. at the Monticello Cemetery. Also on Friday will be graveside services for Mary Lou Nakai, age 78. They begin at 10 a.m. on Saturday, on January 26th at McCracken Mesa. I need to check that date, too. Apologize if we got that wrong. Services for Angeline King, age 92, of Monticello, are Saturday at 10 a.m. at St. Joseph Catholic Church in Monticello. And funeral services for Jenny Lee Nilsson, age 79, of Bluff, begin at 10 a.m. on Saturday, January 27th, at the LDS Chapel in Bluff. Visitation from 9:30 to 10. For more information on these and other services, you can check the local newspapers or the websites for Ertel Funeral Home, Spanish Valley Mortuary, or the San Juan Mortuary.
Very good. Thanks for those, Bill. Once again, it is the Red Rock Morning Show on Red Rock 92. As part of the morning show, we have our Artful Life we'll be bringing to you. And then,
Can I interrupt real quick? Yeah. Mary Lou Nakai, those graveside services are Friday at 10 a.m.
This Friday?
Friday, yes.
Okay. Very good. Thanks for that, Bill. Glad you're on top of that. Again, it is the morning show on Red Rock 92. Again, as part of the morning show, we'll send you over to our Artful Life conversation with Alan Williams and then be back with more news and happenings right here on Red Rock 92.7.
The Utah Symphony is coming to San Juan School District this Thursday. Their target audience is the students. Funding is coming from Utah State Legislature and the Utah State Board of Education through the Professional Outreach Program, as well as the Elizabeth Brown D. Fund for Music in the Schools. This is happening because these leaders recognize that the arts improve academic advancement, expose children to a higher standard of excellence, as well as enrich their souls. For some, this may be one of the few times they will have an experience with a professional orchestra. A young man in his 40s shared his remembrance of a professional string quartet visiting his remote high school. The visit made such an impression on him that 20 years later, he was still talking about it and fondly recalling the visit. Several times in our lives, we were privileged to have season tickets to the local symphony. After each concert, I always came away with the word excellence on my brain. These musicians study and practice for years and very diligently. They remind us that there is a high standard of achievement and that we must never settle for mediocrity. A friend of mine used to play in the Utah Symphony. He told me something I've never forgotten. He said he must get a good night's rest so he can play his best when they perform. Think about it. Musicians and music must be in tip-top condition in order to be at the top of their performance. After years of enjoying live symphony, I asked him which of the many instruments he thought was the most difficult to play. I had seen an organist using every appendage to hit keys and foot pedals, and he was just having quite a workout. It was not only a display of excellent organ playing, but a physical workout. Surely, I thought, my friend would cite the organ. So I was a bit surprised to hear him say, in his estimation, the French horn was the most difficult. Now, may I allow a moment of bragging? When the Utah Symphony first made their plans in the fall, Kygalia Fine Arts insinuated themselves in the planning. Originally, the orchestra was going to play only two concerts, only for the Blanding students. Realizing that the rest of the county would not hear this quadriennial, that means 4 years performance, we got brazen and asked the symphony if they would consider playing a third concert. Working through the management, the players union, the attorneys, and whoever else, we were given a third performance. To sweeten the deal for the schools, Kygalia Fine Arts offered to pay for the buses so students could come to Blanding. Two schools are located too far away, so the symphony's legal department approved that we could broadcast a special concert for those schools. I just needed to share how the Kygalia Fine Arts Council is trying to support learning and the arts in San Juan County. By the way, there is some room in the 1105 concert for community members to attend. And then be sure and ask your student if they enjoyed the symphony. This has been An Artful Life.
San Juan County Adult Education empowers students to gain the technical, business, or college skills necessary to enter the workforce. At San Juan County Adult Education, adult learners are given the opportunity to reach their personal, educational, and career goals. Students can earn a high school diploma, obtain a GED, increase their wage-earning potential, and decrease barriers to self-reliance. To learn more, visit any USU Learning Center in San Juan County or email Gina Grover at jgrover@sjsd.org.
It's the 24th annual Cortez Livestock Farm and Equipment Consignment Auction, April 5th through 7th at the Cortez Livestock Auction. Consignments will be accepted March 14th through April 3rd from 8 to 6 daily and April 4th from 8 to 5. The deadline to list items on the advertising flyer is March 3rd. For more information, call or text Rowdy at 970-759-0233 or Allen at 970-749-1958. Brought to you by Rawhide Auctions.
The San Juan Credit Union, providing exceptional financial products in southeastern Utah for over 60 years, is proud to support our local high schools. With branches in Blanding, Monticello, and Bluff, along with an ATM in Montezuma Creek, access to those products is easier than ever. The San Juan Credit Union offers checking and saving accounts, bill pay, a wide array of loans, and much more, all on a full-service website and mobile app. Plus, they're federally insured by the National Credit Union Association. The San Juan Credit Union. Your money, your future, your credit union.
It's the after Christmas sale going on right now at Walker Drug, Moab's Everything Store. Come check out the great deals on all kinds of items as we sell the old to make room for the new. Save big on home linens with our January white sale. Our new shipment of Tannerite will help you bring in the new year with a bang. Plus, Walker Drug offers home prescription delivery and a medication sync program. Start off 2024 right at the Walker Drug After Christmas Sale. Walker Drug, Moab's Everything Store, right next to Walker's True Value.
Come fly with me, let's fly away.
Redtail Air Connections is offering weekly air service to Salt Lake City. Fly in and out of your friendly Canyonlands Regional Airport to Salt Lake City International Airport. Arrive only 15 minutes before your scheduled flight no long TSA lines, and a quick one-hour flight time. The easiest booking process and treated like a VIP. Book online today at flyredtail.com or by calling 435-259-7421. Come fly with us.
It's a new year, and Choice Building Supply Ace Hardware in Cortez has everything you need to stock up and get organized. 27-gallon heavy-duty storage totes are just $12.99. Buy three Ace furnace air filters, get one free. Plus, check out the great deals on Ego Power snowblowers and start your home project with savings on Milwaukee and DeWalt power drills and accessories. It's all part of the Red Hot Buys all month long at Choice Building Supply Ace Hardware in Cortez.
Well, good morning. Welcome back to the Red Rock Morning Show on Red Rock 92. It is Tuesday, January 23rd, 2024, 9:42 a.m.
Yeah, and that song you just heard, The First Time by Surface, was the number one song in the land in 1991 on this day. So 33 years ago today, Surface came from New Jersey. They were active for about 10 years, best known, of course, for this number one song, The First Time. Now, generally when we play these number one songs or any just listen to the radio, those songs take me back to a time and a place, and it's very vivid and it's very real. I can sing along with most of them. But I swear that's the first time in my life I've heard that song. Think back of, oh, I was raising kids or whatever, but that was the first time I've heard The First Time, I guess. So.
Wow.
Whatever.
You remember it, I guess?
I feel like I'm all of a sudden out of touch because I've never heard the number one song, but that was...
I hadn't heard it
either.
You
were a little 8-month-old toddling around the house.
Yeah, I don't recall it, surprisingly.
You haven't heard it either.
No.
We have consensus here.
Yeah, there must be everyone. Someone's yelling, that's my favorite song.
That's my favorite song.
That's a song we danced to.
Junior prom theme.
That's a song we danced to on our wedding night. Yeah.
You know, really, as I listened to it, it sounded like a bad song from a junior high school dance.
Wow.
But
I didn't say that.
Yeah.
But no, I think you may. I don't know. I wasn't impressed in the 20-second clip that I heard. But,
the first time by Surface, and it could be the last time by Surface.
Too. Well, it was their only hit too, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe something there. I don't know.
Anyway, congratulations to them for that. That
someone's
time
gonna
in
someone's
1991.
Gonna fight us in the parking lot, Bill. Someone likes that song.
Yeah, serious. Someone is going. Wait a minute. That's the greatest song ever written.
Not us.
That's what you get at Red Rock 92. It's good,
mm-hmm.
good music.
Good.
Whether I agree or not, maybe I just need more exposure. Today is National Measure Your Feet Day. I'm not sure how they picked January 23rd, but today's the day. A few little facts. 85% of people underestimate their shoe size and by at least a half a size. So your feet are a little bit bigger than you think they are. Your feet grow as you age. We don't grow any taller after our mid-20s, but our feet continue to grow, sometimes by a size and a half. Speaking of sizes, it was in 1342 that King Edward declared that shoe sizes would be measured by the diameter of a barley corn. So that's how they have shoe sizes initially was that famous measurement that we base all Western civilization on, the diameter of a barley corn. So, anyway, learn something about shoe sizes today on National Measure Your Feet Day. Birthdays today, John Moses Browning, the American inventor who developed scores of guns, was born today in 1855 in Ogden, Utah.
Hmm.
He died in 1926 in Belgium. He got sideways with the Winchester Company, and so he moved to Europe and died there in Belgium. He's known as the father of modern firearms, has 128 patents, designed over 100 distinct guns. Colt, Remington, Winchester, and of course Browning are all inventions of John Moses Browning. He left a legacy almost as big as the modern firearms industry. Since his death, this is according to a website I looked up, but since his death, there have been no disruptive developments in gun design. And so fundamentally, we're still using his guns today. Anyway, if you're ever in Ogden, you ought to swing by the Browning Firearms Museum. It's pretty fascinating. He really was a transformative character. Had 10 kids, lived a very humble life. John Browning. Other birthday today, pilot Sully Sullenberg was born today in 1951. Of course, he was the pilot who safely landed a jumbo jet full of passengers on the Hudson River. Pretty amazing. Happy birthday to Sully. Local birthdays, this is pretty fun. Willis and Katara Cowboy, a married couple, both have birthdays today. And so they never have to worry about forgetting their spouse's birthday. So happy birthday to the Cowboys. Also to John Williams and to Jeff Simon. If you want to give a birthday shout-out on the morning show, give us a call. We'd love to put them on the show, 435-587-2277, or email info@redrock92.com.
Well, very good. Thanks for those, Bill. Again, it's the morning show on Red Rock 92. Coming up next, we've got the on-air job fair. Before we get to that, morning show sponsored Red Tail Air Connections offers weekly air service from Canyonlands Regional Airport in Moab. The Salt Lake City International Airport, you can book today at flyredtail.com. We've got an addition to the job fair as well, right, Bill?
Yes, the Canyonlands Solid Waste District in Moab has an opening for a diesel mechanic at their facility. Full-time work from $20 to $27 an hour, depending on experience. It includes a great benefits package. You'll work on a variety of diesel and gasoline vehicles and equipment. Download an application online at SWSSD1.org or call 435-259-6314 for more information. The mailing address is 2295 South Highway 191 in Moab.
Very good. We'll get you to the rest of the on-air job fair.
Listen every day for the on-air job fair on Red Rock 92. The job fair is broadcast 9 times a day, throughout the day, every day.
Canyonlands Care Center, Moab Senior Care Facility, is searching for RNs, LPNs, and CNAs. These are full-time positions with benefits. Come join an amazing and caring team. Please contact Canyonlands Care Center at 435-719-4400 or stop by at 390 Williams Way, just behind the hospital in Moab. Lisbon Valley Mine still has a few open positions, including heavy equipment operators, mechanics, a senior mine engineer, and a chief mine engineer. Lisbon Valley Mine offers year-round full-time employment with competitive wages and excellent benefits. To apply, send a resume to applications at lisbonmine.com. For more information, go to lisbonmine.com/careers. Lisbon Valley Mining Company mines and produces copper within Utah's Lisbon Valley, located in LaSalle. Blue Mountain Hospital in Blanding has a variety of open positions. Registered nurses are needed in many departments. They're also seeking a dialysis manager, a radiology ultrasound tech, and a part-time radiology department secretary slash scheduler. Blue Mountain Hospital offers an incredible work experience and atmosphere with great people, compensation, and benefits. Apply today at bmhutah.org/careers. Find rewarding and satisfying work at Utah Navajo Health System. Currently seeking employees for a wide variety of positions, including medical, dental, behavioral, and support functions at locations across the Northern Navajo Nation and Southeast Utah. UNHS strives to hire the most talented and optimistic employees in the healthcare sector. Check out unhsinc.org/careers for a complete list of current job openings. San Juan County still has a number of openings this winter, including a light equipment operator in the North District and a sheriff's deputy also in the North District. Part-time positions include a community marketing coordinator, a Bluff Senior Center aide, and a Blanding Library assistant. San Juan County offers excellent pay and a generous benefits package for full-time employees. Get more information and apply at sanjuancounty.org or contact Crystal Brake at 435-587-3225. White Mesa Travel Center is seeking an experienced convenience store manager with retail and fuel administration experience. They're also seeking an assistant manager. And Cuchu's Restaurant at Ute Mountain Casino Hotel seeks an experienced chef for the Chef Tourant role. 3+ years experience as a room chef, chef de cuisine, or sous chef. Culinary school training is preferred and experience in a fast-paced, high-volume environment. Also, openings for cooks and sous chefs. wages on experience up to $20.72 per hour. Full benefit packages available, including vacation and holidays. Download an application at utemountaincasino.com/careers and submit with your resume to employment@utemountaincasino.com or call Human Resources at 970-564-6127 for more information. Grand County School District needs you. There are lots of vacancies. Openings are in food service, custodial work, teacher's assistants, bus drivers, after-school programs, special education, or keeping teens on track to graduate at the new Student Career and Success Center. Wages are up across the board for full and part-time vacancies, and they offer great benefits, retirement, and holidays and weekends off. Get a job that matches your child's schedule and makes a difference. Apply at grandschools.org and click on the Employment tab to learn more.
Listen every day for the on-air job fair on Red Rock 92. If you want to participate, give us a call at 435-587-2277 or email info@redrock92.com.
Kick off the start of the year with us at Ute Mountain Casino. Spin your way into January with a Winter Wonder Wheel every Saturday at 6 p.m., 8 p.m., and 10 p.m. Lucky winners will be drawn to spin the wheel for a chance to walk away with up to $2,000 in cold, hard cash. Fuel up Fridays from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. One drawn winner will win a $200 gas card. Fuel up your adventures and experience the joy of winning at Ute Mountain Casino.
The Doobie Sisters Dispensary, located at 695 North Broadway in Cortez, offers the highest quality cannabis products. Locally owned and operated, Doobie Sisters is open Monday to Saturday from 9 to 7 and Sundays from 10 to 6. Don't miss our happy hour every day from 420 to 6. We also now carry Doobie Sisters Botanics from our own cultivation facility. Drop in or order online when you visit our menu tab at DoobieSistersCo.com. When you look for quality, look for Doobie Sisters at 695 North Broadway in Cortez.
San Juan County is conducting a housing assessment and needs to hear from you. This is your chance to voice your opinions about housing costs and availability in San Juan County. Be sure to attend one of the five meetings that are scheduled this month. These public meetings will be held in Monticello, LaSalle, Bluff, Blanding, and Monument Valley during the last week of January. For more information and to RSVP, visit the San Juan County Economic Development and Visitor Services Facebook page. That's facebook.com/San Juan EDVS.
Moab Heat and Cool, your Bryant Whatever It Takes dealer, reminds you it's time to clean and tune up your furnace this winter. Check out this unbelievable special for Red Rock 92 listeners. Right now, get a full furnace cleaning and service for only $99. Don't miss the big Red Rock Radio Winter Furnace Tune-Up Special. Call Moab Heat and Cool right now at 259-1519. That's 259-1519. Take advantage of the big $99 furnace special this winter with Moab Heat and Cool, your Bryant Whatever It Takes dealer.
Moab Heat and Cool can now handle all your plumbing needs. Call them today.
Red Rock 92 High School Sports. I'm Rhett Siffer. One score to report from last night. The Grand County girls basketball team suffered a 41-29 loss at Duchesne. The Lady Red Devils are in Colville today to take on North Summit. Join us for some high school hoops tonight as the Dove Creek Bulldogs pay a visit to Monticello to take on the Buckaroos in a local rivalry showdown. The boys tip it off at 5:30, the girls at 7. Catch all the action live on Red Rock 92 and StreamUtah.live. The White Horse boys are hosting Green River tonight in another matchup between local teams. One more local showdown, the Mancos boys and girls will host Dolores. And both Monument Valley teams are at home to take on Red Mesa. On the wrestling mats tonight, Dove Creek is hosting Monument Valley and Ignacio in a try. Send scores and updates to sports at sjrnews.com. That's a look at local high school sports on Red Rock 92.
Well, good morning. Welcome back to the Red Rock Morning Show on Red Rock 92.7 FM. It is Tuesday, January 23rd, 2024, 9:56 a.m. Glad you've joined us. Let's take a look at the regional sports report now, starting with the Phoenix Suns. Oh boy, the Suns with a big comeback to get a two-point win over the Chicago Bulls, 115-113. Kevin Durant with 43 points in the win. Good win last night for the Phoenix Suns. Let's take a look elsewhere. The Denver Nuggets in action tonight. They're in Indiana, tipping off at 5. Utah Jazz are in New Orleans, taking on the Pelicans at 6. That'll do it for the Regional Sports Report, and with it, this edition of the Red Rock Morning Show. Really glad that you joined us this morning. We look forward to chatting with you tomorrow. Until then, have a great Tuesday.